Thank you for tuning in to the Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple podcast. My name is Carlos Navarrete, and I'm the lead pastor. Our goal is to magnify God through His Word, and we pray that you'll be drawn closer to Jesus through this message. If this message is a help to you, we would greatly appreciate it if you could leave a review and subscribe. And most importantly, please share with friends through social media to help us spread God's Word. Now, here's today's message. Take your Bible. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 5 this morning. As we wrap up this year, I want to talk to you about having a blessed new year, a blessed new year. And I'm excited about our series next week. I really do pray you'll encourage someone to visit, and I pray that you won't miss. And if you're able, that you'll study along with us. And very, very much believe that the Lord has been teaching over the last few months some things and laying them upon my heart, and I pray that we can learn them together. It's Matthew chapter 5 today. We come to a wonderful moment, and as we finish this year, everybody will be wishing each other a happy new year, and that's just the phrase that we like to use. But today I want to talk to you about a blessed new year, because the reality of it is that you may not have a happy new year. It's quite possible this year will not be happy for you, in the sense that it may not be filled with happenings. See, the difference between happy and blessed is very simple. Happiness depends on what happens to you. So we don't want today, and by the way, you didn't need to come to church today to have happiness. That comes and goes with the ebbs and flows and victories and defeats of life. So the question then is, how can we have a blessed new year? Because see, when we talk about blessedness, we're talking about something totally different. We're talking about the ability to, the Bible calls it, have joy, maybe is the closest word we can come up with. The Greek word in that we find here in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 is the Greek word makairos, which is a really difficult word for us to translate into English. Some people will say happy, but as I mentioned, that's not the totality of it. Somebody may say, well, it's joyful or blessed. Well, that's part of it. But it really is a standing back and being in awe of somebody who just appears to have all that they could possibly need. So as we come to Matthew 5, we're reading the Sermon on the Mount. Here's Jesus, the Bible says, by the Sea of Galilee, and he's preaching here. He has literally gathered a crowd, a large crowd, have been to that spot, and there's a slope there, and Jesus used the water as natural amplification, and he began to just tell them what sometimes we call in this passage the Beatitudes, and somebody has appropriately named the attitudes that ought to be. In the Old Testament, we got commandments, the law, thou shalt not kill, steal, you know, thou shalt not covet. And those were all action commands. And we all discovered, as everyone did through the Old Testament and the law, we all discovered that we break the law. The law is impossible. It's impossible to do anything but bring us to Christ with our need. Well, in the New Testament now, we got what we call the Beatitudes. And these are attitudes. These are internal. There's no checklist Christianity in Matthew chapter 5. This is literally things that ought to be on the inside. By the way, this is why we're going to study what it means to be a Christian in Christ. Many times we have, this desire for self-help. We say, you know, give me five ways to be a good husband. And I could stand up here and I could say, guys, listen, you got to do this and this and this and this. And all of you would sit there and you go, well, I know, I already knew I needed to do that. Pastor, thanks. And you'd walk out knowing full well in your heart that the issue isn't that you didn't know. The issue is that you don't sometimes have the strength, the power to do that. And so sometimes what we need is we need to deal with the inside. That's the issue many times in our lives. And so as we come to Matthew 5, we see here Jesus, he's dealing with attitudes. Read verse 1 with me. And seeing the multitudes, he went into a mountain, and he was set. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he, Jesus, opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So notice he starts. He says, if you want to go to heaven, this is very simple, you have to be spiritually poor. The word poor there doesn't mean you have little. The word poor means destitute, homeless, nothing. You've got to come to Jesus and go, Lord, I can do nothing to save myself. And the Bible says if you'll do that, he'll save you completely and give you all of heaven. How many of you can't believe that? So there's some oxymorons here. Notice verse number 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So Lord Jesus said that God's people, his people, ought to have the ability to be broken. We need to be able to look at our world, and the Bible says, let the things that bother Jesus bother you. Not the things that bother world. Everybody's bothered about, you know, the guy in the White House and the guy in the State House and the guy in the, you know, and then the house next door. No. Are you bothered about their soul? Are you bothered about the things that bother Jesus? Do those things bother you? Do you mourn for those things? This is what Jesus said his followers ought to have. Notice verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now he says you've got to be meek. Humility is very difficult. He said you've got to be somebody who's meek. He said those who have me, he says they will become like I am. He was lowly of spirit. Jesus didn't reply. He didn't get offended. He wasn't somebody who had insecurities. Jesus was humble. He was secure in that he was the Son of God and God the Son. Therefore, he had the ability to serve. Are you humble enough to serve? I'll tell you what. That's the greatest sign of humility, is that you're willing to serve. You know who you are. Humility isn't thinking lowly of yourself. Humility is not thinking of yourself. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, how much we think of ourselves. Did I get greeted? Did I get respected? Did they treat me? You get mad at the boss and at your wife, and you get mad at your kids because, you know, you don't get the respect. And Lord Jesus said, no, wait a minute. Are you meek? Are you humble? I want you to focus with me on verse number 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, Jesus said, I want you to hunger and thirst for righteousness, he says, because if you'll do that, you will be filled. That's an amazing, amazing moment. And he ended this passage, by the way, saying at the end, if anybody will hear these words, in fact, flip over to Matthew chapter 7. Would you do that? Look in verse number 24. Jesus ended the sermon, and he said, by the way, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Here he said, here's the deal. He said, you are going to need, he said, to stand well. 2024 is going to bring a lot of storms. He said that they would come. Notice in verse 25, and the rain descended. Those are storms, that pressures that come from above. How many of you figured out sometimes in your life that God allows things to come from himself? He allows things to just descend upon us. And suddenly you find yourself going, wait a minute, what is this, Lord? And God says, it's my will for you. By the way, do you know what God's will for you is? Your sanctification. That's what we're going to study over the next 6 weeks. God's will for you is not to be happy and healthy. God's will necessarily. God's will for you is that you be holy. That's his greatest will. God's will is that you have faith, not that you have finances and future, and your family is all taken care of and well, and you're set going into your last years of life. Listen, you don't need God for that. You could do that with your compounded interest charts and your financial planner. God's will is that you have faith. Do you have that? See, and so sometimes he'll bring... things will come from above to make you trust the Lord. He'll say, you're securing your job? Let me touch that. Oh, you think your business? Let me touch that. Oh, it's your family? Let me touch that. And the Lord will allow things. And so the rain descended. And then he said, number 2, and the floods came. Do you know what floods are? Those are the pressures that come from below. Now, when God allows things into your life, when the rains come down, the pressures come from above, and you know what happens? You get better. God gives you trials so that you can trust him. Say that with me. God gives me trials that I may trust him. So that when you're done, you have a stronger faith. You wouldn't go back and do it again, but you can look back and you can say, I learned to trust Jesus. You always need him, but isn't it a sad thing that because of this, the tendency of our flesh to trust ourselves, that God has to allow brokenness so that you can finally recognize that you need him? So you trust him. But when the floods come, those come from below, and those come from the enemy, from the devil. when the floods come, you know what happens? The devil doesn't give you temptations to make you better. He makes you temptations to make you bitter and to make you sin. Those come from below. How many of you right now would say, you know, Pastor, I've had some stuff come from above and some stuff come from below this past year. How many of you would say that? And then notice number 3 in verse 25, and he says, and the winds blew. No, what's the winds? The winds represents the pressures from all around us. Folks, if I've got it right, and I hope I'm not, but I believe there's enough people around that I think are sensing the same thing, 2024 is not going to be a cakewalk. I really believe that we've got a lot of uncertainty up ahead. Some of you know what I'm talking about. We've got in 2024 as a country, we've got all around us economic pressure, uncertainty. The dollar's going down, inflation's going up, and our government spending money like they've got blank checks. Well, maybe they do. If you spent it like they do, you'd be in jail. Or better yet, you'd be in the White House. We have national security issues. You come into the United States customs situation there at an airport, and they yell at you and scream at you and go, stand over there. But you can cross the border anytime you want. We don't know if they're terrorists, anarchists, rapists, or all of the above. Folks, and we have millions of undocumented people walking into our borders. You say, well, is this a political message? Absolutely not. Folks, listen, we're a spiritual house. I want you to know, I don't really care how they got here. We want to preach the gospel to them. But how many of you think that's a problem? We've got a political year. This is an election year. And I am telling you, the division, the tension, the hate, the evil that's being spewed already, and I'm talking both sides. I don't really even care which side anymore. There's such ridiculousness. All of a sudden, we have such real issues. We've got state legislatures that are worrying about and passing laws about things that have nothing to do with anything but just promoting evil. The New York state of New York this year proposed a law to basically make it illegal for any restaurant to close on Sundays. Now, everybody knows it's just a law targeting Chick-fil-A. Now, how many of you know what Chick-fil-A is, right? Chick-fil-A, Truett Cathy, back in the 60s, started a restaurant. But he decided, I'm not going to be like everybody else. He said, I'm a Christian. The greatest thrill of his life, he taught fourth grade boys for 40-something years before he died. And he said, I want it to be where everybody knows that on Sundays, we worship God. And we take a day of rest. And he did that for himself and for his employees, for his company. His sons have since carried that out. Chick-fil-A is the number one fast food chain in the nation because of it. I really believe God honors those that honor him. Chick-fil-A makes more money in 6 days than the rest of the fast food chains do in 7. How many of you think God is able to do stuff like that, by the way? And all of a sudden, you know, and everybody knows the law is just targeting the fact that Chick-fil-A at some of the rest stops, they'll close no matter where they are, restaurants, airports, you know, malls, you name it, they close every Sunday. Ridiculous. That's just politics. And I haven't even mentioned and haven't even brought into account the trouble at your house, the health needs in your family, the unresolved conflicts you carry in your heart right now. 2024 is going to be a challenging year. And as we sit here, you say, well, Pastor, what do we do? I mean, we've got war in Ukraine, war in Israel, we've got in Sudan, you've got genocide. I mean, we can look all around the world and there's just issues. And here's what I want you to understand. No matter what happens, we have a formula to be blessed. The Bible says you can be blessed. You can be somebody, the Bible says, that whether the floods come from below or where the rains come from above or the winds are blowing all around, we can stand rooted in Christ. This is why I'm going to preach to you about being a Christian. What does that mean? You've got to understand it. So many people don't understand that. And we've got, sometimes even as Christians, we've got these misconceptions about what it leads to. You know, we've got the idea in America that if somebody's, you know, short, pudgy, bad skin, you know, they got wispy hair, aren't very good looking, terrible voice, no money, no job, you know what I mean, and don't have a lot going for them in life. You know, if you go to the average American and you go, can that person be happy? They would tell you, no. It's impossible for them to be happy. And then you can point to somebody, you know, who's got, you know, just beautiful and fit and just somebody who's just got, you know, all the things going in the world, and they've got material things and they've got fame and they've got, you know, a following and they've got beautiful hair and all these things. And if you look at them and you say, hey, can that person be happy? We look at them and we say, well, of course they're happy. They've got everything that anybody could possibly want. And we all know on the inside, and you know people who seem to have everything you could ever possibly want, but they're miserable. And folks, you know why? The reason is that it's not what you have that makes you blessed. It's who you are. And that's what the Beatitudes are all about. So I want to talk to you here this morning about a formula for a blessed new year. How can you be that person, the Bible says, who has the blessing of God on the inside? Who from the inside has rivers of living water? Notice number one, you've got to seek Jesus preeminently. Now, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, read it again with me. Blessed are they that hunger, and that do hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, you say, well, what does that mean, righteousness? The Bible says if we thirst after righteousness, what it really is saying here is if you hunger and thirst after Jesus. Now you say, well, how does Jesus equate righteousness? Listen, the Bible says it very clearly in 1 Corinthians 1:30. Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, wisdom and righteousness. Do you realize that Jesus is righteousness? So when we say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we're saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his son, Jesus. Jesus is righteousness. He's the only one that was righteous. The Bible says we are all sinners. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. But how many of you are thankful? There was that one, the God-man, Christ Jesus, who came. And the Bible says he was made God after God, righteousness by God. And God took the righteousness of God and placed it upon us when Jesus died on the cross. And took, the Bible says, the sin and the wickedness and all of the evil from our lives, and he put it on Jesus. That's what happens when you get saved. There's an exchange. How many of you are glad that those that are in Christ have no more condemnation, the Bible says? It's done. It's been settled with. That's what the cross was all about. It was all about taking the righteousness of God. So 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him who knew no sin. The Bible says sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in Jesus. Jesus is righteousness. And so the Bible is very clear here. We need to, the Bible says, seek Jesus. If you hunger and thirst for Jesus, the Bible says, then the Bible says you will be filled. So you've got to bring all of your desires. We're sitting here, many of us, we have desires and goals. And people say, hey, make resolutions and make plans. And I'm not necessarily preaching against that. I hope you'll understand. But I want you to make the greatest desire and bring all your desires and goals into one this morning and consolidate it into this. I'm going to seek Jesus preeminently. What does that mean, preeminently? The Bible says in the book of Colossians that the goal of God was to make Jesus in him, the Bible says, that he might have the preeminence. Not prominence, preeminence. Here's the difference. Prominence means that he is one of many things that you seek. I go to church, and for many people, coming to church is like going to the vending machine. You know what I mean? You ever go to that vending machine and, you know, you look and you go, okay, Snicker bar, D3. Okay, and you take out the change and you pop it in and you're D3. Here comes the Snicker bar. And a lot of people come to church like that. You know, they come and they think, well, okay, I'm just trying to get by. I'm trying to get happy. I'm trying to get good. So maybe God will help me out. Maybe God will give me a little something. Maybe the pastor will just by happenstance spit something out today that'll just kind of help me to get along my way. And we kind of come and we go, maybe I'll pacify God enough today to get satisfied. Let me explain something to you. The Bible says that we all have natural hungers, and they're not all bad. You have food. We have hunger for fellowship and friendship. We have hunger for fame, fortune, to be known, to be loved, for fashion, for fitness, health, and so on. And these are all legitimate. But to be satisfied and blessed, the Bible says, you need to hunger for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the Bible says here that we need to seek him. Watch this. Not blessing, not happiness. Jesus, then you'll have that. Blessedness comes as you hunger and thirst for Jesus. But listen, the problem is many of us, you know, Jesus just becomes one of many things that we'll hope will satisfy us and we hope will fill us and we hope will make us happy. Now, let me tell you something. Here's the problem. If you seek happiness or if you seek blessing or whatever you want to call it, if you seek satisfaction, you won't find it. You ever been somewhere, you know, and sometimes maybe you go to a resort. You're over there, and I mean, you've got a beautiful beach, and you've got white sand, you've got see-through water, and you've got coral reefs, and you've got fish and scuba diving, and you know, and whatever, and you can have a pool, and you can have a beautiful rooms, and you can have all of that. You know what I'm saying? All of that. You ever look at the people, and they're just miserable. You ever go to like an amusement park? You ever do that? You go to Disney or one of these places? You know what I'm saying? Have you ever been there, you know, and you take your kids? And I'm telling you, I mean, we used to do that when our kids were little. And I mean, you just about lose your salvation on your way there. You know what I'm saying? You can't lose your salvation. It's just you lose your religion, though. I mean, I'm telling you. I mean, you know, mom's arguing with dad. And then, you know, kids are fighting with mom. And get up. Don't do that. Get your eye out of his, you know, finger out of her eye. And I mean, it's just this. And nobody's really that happy. The happiest place on earth, you know, everybody's yelling and screaming at each other. They're just mad, and you know, and you cut them off in line, and who do you think you are? I mean, and it's just like, yeah, I was just looking. I'm sorry. I'm standing over here, okay? You know what I mean? And they're miserable. People are just angry. They're mad, and they're looking for happiness, but they're not finding it. Listen, and the reason is very simple. So many people hunger for happiness, but unhappiness is just a symptom, very simply, in your life, but the disease is sin. So to seek happiness, that would be like you going to the doctor and you've got, you know, just a 105 degree fever. I mean, you're burning up and you're sitting there and it's been 2 days and the doctor looks at you and says, listen, here's some Tylenol, go home and, you know, and just take that. And he never inquires about why you have a fever, why you have an infection. Listen, that doctor does you no favors. And in the same way, you can come in here and so many of you, you know, so many people, we desire sometimes. We want self-help messages. Give me 3 ways to know the will of God. Give me 4 ways to be a good husband. Give me 5 ways that I can, you know, get along with my kids. Give me, Pastor, real quick, why don't you preach on that, Pastor? Here's why. Listen, that would be like Samuel saying, take a pill, get rid of that. No. We've got to step back and understand the unhappiness is a symptom of sin. So I'm here to tell you the number one thing you've got to do is seek Jesus. Because as we sang today, he is the only one, not I, but Christ in me. See, he's the only one. The Bible says, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so many times we want to be band-aided. We've got to seek righteousness. And righteousness is found in Jesus. And when you walk in Jesus, and when you understand who you are in Jesus, when you know that you're not only in Jesus, but he is in you, and that you have all of Jesus that you'll ever possibly need or have, and that in him you're complete. You know what happens, the Bible says? All of a sudden, you can rely, and you can rest, and you can trust, and you can have freedom. And the Bible says, and you can be blessed. I was sitting on a plane on my way back. My family and I went to see my wife's folks and family in Illinois. So we've been there all week. And so I was flying back to be here for services a couple nights ago. And I sat on a plane and, you know, I always do this. You kind of just say hi to the person who's in there and say, hey, how you doing? And there's this young lady. And I said, hi, how are you? And she said, good. And, you know, and you always kind of want to test the waters. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I'm the one that I'm like, don't talk to me. I don't want to talk to anybody, you know. And I'm checking doors. Colossians 4:3, the Bible says, see if there's a door of utterance that's open unto me. I want to see if somebody's there. Maybe God put somebody there. And I said, well, you heading home or you live here? And she said, ah, heading home. I said, okay. So we sat there. Well, about a minute later, couldn't have been more than that. The stewardess came over, the flight attendant, and she said, can I take your boarding pass? I said, sure. Showed her my pass, and she said, okay. She said, can I check yours? And this lady, young lady, showed her boarding pass. She said, you're in the wrong seat. She said, you're sitting over there. She said, this young lady's sitting there. So she sat over there, and this other young lady sat there, and so I started my routine again. I figured, well, try again. How you doing? Good. She said, you going home? You live here? She said, actually, I used to live here, and I'm moving there. Oh, you're moving to Rhode Island. Shit, sure I am. I said, no kidding. I said, I did that once. And we got to talking. And a 25-year-old young lady. And she said, well, said I've lived such and such a place for few years, said, I think in the Midwest, and she said, I'm moving to Rhode Island. I said, do you have family there? She said, a little family. She said, I just need a fresh start. And I said, oh, you know, and she got to talking about some of her problems. She's had a couple kids and a couple husbands and a couple drug addictions and a couple problems, a couple criminal things on her record. I mean, on and on and on. And I said, wow, that's a lot for a 25-year-old. I said, hey, you know, I said, this is none of my business. I said, but you know, sometimes the problem is that the problem's in here. I said, if you have a problem here, and you got a problem here, and you got a problem here, and you got a problem here, I said, you know what the problem is not every place that has a problem. Maybe it's, I said, what's the common denominator? And she looked at me and she goes, yeah. And I said, you know, I'm glad you're going to get a fresh start. I said, but maybe you ought to deal with that. You know, I said, in my profession, I said, I'm a pastor, and I just try to tell people, I said, what the cure is. And I said, the problem is we're all sinners. I said, and the thing is, I said, you know, you've got to deal with, I said, the fact that, you know, you've been looking a lot of places and haven't found satisfaction. And she says, I sure have. 25 years old. She's, you know, talking about how just a few weeks ago it was, she said, every time I'd get depressed, I'd go and I'd take such and such a drug. And every time, and I'd go back and I'd keep taking it. I said, did it work? She said, no. So I've stopped because that didn't work. I mean, she was empty, broken, 25 years old. She tried it all. She's looking at me and she's going, Pastor, I've tried all that. And I'll tell you, it was wonderful. By the way, by the time we landed at TF Green Airport, she was trusting Christ as her Savior last night. And I hope Maddie comes next Sunday. I'm telling you, folks, you need Jesus. We look everywhere. I mean, it'd be like you invited me over to your house for dinner, and I show up, you know, and I'm hungry. I would be, by the way, because my wife's not around. And you go, oh, Pastor, let me show you our library, and I'm looking at your library, but I'm smelling that beef stew, you know what I mean? And then we go, oh, let me show you my garage. Can I show you my tools? And I'm looking, and I'm going, that's great. You know, do you have any food around here? You know what I'm saying? Folks, listen, you know, I mean, you're showing me your art collection that your grandpa gave you, and you're showing me, you know, your cars and your house and your architecture, and all along, I'm hangry, you know what I mean? Hungry. Folks, there's only one thing that'll satisfy, and that's Jesus, and it's the same way. We're looking around in this world, and we go to this, and we go to this, and some people, they get to the end of their life, and they're still looking in something, and then they die, and they're never really satisfied. Folks, the Bible is very clear. Seek Jesus. And you shall be filled. The Bible says, hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. And you shall be filled. Seek him preeminently, not prominently, not one of the many things. Number one, God, he doesn't want a place in your life. He wants the number one place in your life. Because the Bible says, when you seek the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, then all of a sudden, your heart, your soul, they are satisfied. The righteousness comes in and reigns in your life. And all of a sudden, you can say, like we sang, yet not I, but Christ in me. To this I hold. I long to follow Jesus. That'll be your song. That'll be your battle cry. Now notice, number one, we've got to seek him preeminently. Number two, that also means then you need to seek him purposely. See, this year then you need to step back and say, now wait a minute, I'm going to do some things to make sure that I am seeking Jesus. Now, Jesus said you need to hunger and thirst. Now that's interesting because we all here can understand those things. Jesus was such a masterful teacher. In fact, obviously he was God. So he knew how he could speak in a way that we can understand. When he spoke of salvation, he spoke of being born again. Nicodemus said, whoa, how can an old man be, you know, climb back into his mother's womb? And he said, no, this is not physical. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Everybody needs to have a physical birthday. They need to have a spiritual birthday. So now Jesus said, you need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger, that's talking about our need for food. Thirst, that's talking about our need for liquid, for water. If I understand it, with a little bit of research that I did, a man can live about 40 days without food. A man can only live about 3 days without water. If I understand it, most people can only live about 8 minutes without air. But you can't live a minute of this life without the Lord Jesus Christ. And like I said, sometimes you're more aware of it than others, but we always need him. That's why we can sing the song, the hymn, every single Sunday. We could sing it every single day. Frankly, we could sing it all day long. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. I need the Lord every day. There's just days I'm more aware of it than others. Now, what happens when you get hungry? What happens when you get thirsty? See, when people get hungry, when people are starving, things change. You don't care who won the Patriots game. You don't care, you know, what paintings hanging downtown at the museum. You don't care, you know, if there's a peace treaty that was signed in Israel or not. There's one thing on your mind: food. A starving man has an intense desire. I wonder if you're seeking Jesus purposefully. I mean, if you have just made up your mind, I don't care who plays, I don't care who wins, I don't care about anything this year, but I'm going to become that. We seek, the Bible says, other things purposely. You know, when you get to all of a sudden going, you know what, I'm going to take care of my health this year. You know, all of a sudden you begin to eat right. I was talking to another guy on a plane, you know, and he walked in and like this, you know, one of those guys. Kind of like me, right? Yeah. Just kidding. And he sits down, and I said, what do you do? He goes, I build muscle. Oh. I said, yeah, I can see that. And how do you do that? He's like, well, it all starts with what I eat. This is what he said to me. He goes, I'm a Ferrari. He said, you don't put junk in a Ferrari. And I was sitting there, you know, with my smoothie. And I looked down and I thought, well, at least it's fruit, right? You know what I mean? And I said, I'm a Toyota. Nice to meet you. You know what I mean? And man, I'm listening. That guy's got a purpose. People, whatever you seek, you set a purpose. And you set some steps to do it. Paul said in his old age, after he had written most of the New Testament, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. See, the Bible says when you get saved, all of a sudden, you get all of Jesus. You don't need to do more. You know, the Pentecostals talked about the second blessing. I mean, you heard a lot of that in years ago, the second blessing. You know what happens when you get saved again? Nothing. Because you can only get saved once. You know what happens when you get a second blessing? Nothing. Because you get it all the first time you got saved. How many of you are glad you get it all when you get saved? You don't have the Holy Spirit when you got saved? You didn't get saved. You got saved. The Holy Spirit of God came in you. Now watch this. That would be like you standing in the ocean. You're going, I'm in the ocean. Yes, but have you studied all the coral reefs and all of the profound? No, you haven't. You haven't gotten that deep, but you're in there. Now that's a silly illustration. You may be in Christ today, but you don't understand the depths of what that means. And that's why, you know, the next few weeks we're going to be preaching about that. It's important. Paul knew this when he preached about Jesus all the time. And he said to the Philippian jailer, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. But now we read over that, but I want you to think about this. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say believe in him, because I can stand here and believe in something. But he said, believe on him. Put your trust on him. See, that means you need to believe into, you need to get in there. You can believe the ocean, but until you get in it, you're not really trusting it. And what he's saying is, get in there. And you, the Bible says, you may be saved, but you haven't gotten that deep into Jesus. And what I'm talking about right now is set in your heart this year, I'm going to hunger, I'm going to thirst, I'm going to get into Jesus. You say, why? Let me tell you why. Colossians says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. How many of you are glad that Jesus was God? He wasn't God because he was born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin because he was the Son of God. Amen. And he came to this earth, the Bible says, and he had God's perfect blood, and he lived and died. That's what Christmas, we talked about that. Notice verse 10. And ye are complete in him. You know what that means? That we have everything we need in Jesus. You're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You don't need anything but Jesus Christ. Everything you could possibly live, all have or need, the Bible says, all things that pertain unto life and to godliness, that is, whether it's physical or spiritual, watch this, or even emotional, the Bible says, everything we have, we're complete in Jesus. All of a sudden, when you have Jesus, you have it all. So everybody who's found this to be true, and if you study this, you're going to find that theme all over the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down. He leadeth me. He guideth me. He sitteth me. He lays me down at times. The Bible says that all that we need, we have in Jesus Christ. May all that you desire this year, and may you purpose to do nothing but seek the Lord more than anything else. Jeremiah said, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your what? heart. Listen, look for him. Don't be ashamed to be somebody who studies the Bible. You say, well, I don't know people who study the Bible that well. Well, you become one and get a concordance and get some resources and get in the Word of God and get a dictionary and figure out what it means and understand the Scriptures and seek to know him this year. Get to know him in worship. You say, well, Pastor, I just don't sense there's a lot of people that are all in. But why don't you get all in? Mind, soul, strength, all of you worshiping the Lord, giving yourself wholly to him. Look for him purposefully in the Scriptures. Look for him in prayer. Oh God, I want you. Lord, I'm not getting off my knees till I sense your presence, till I know that you're near, till I know you're going to answer, until the Spirit of God comes in and you know the Lord is there. Listen, seek for him, the Bible says, constantly. Get hungry. Oh, well, I don't know. You know, what are people going to say? Listen, I've been to L.A. I've been in New York City. I'm telling you what you see all the time. You know, you're there, and you look down some back alley, and behind some restaurant, there's the garbage container. And you know what you find all the time? People that are dumpster diving. You guys have seen it. Anybody seen that? Imagine you're leaving church today, and I'm over here in the dumpster, and all you see is my shoes sticking out, and I'm just, you know, down there just trying to find something to eat. And you go, Pastor, you all right? Yeah, I'm good. My wife's out of town. Looking for some food, you know what I mean? You say, oh, that'd be kind of shameful, wouldn't it? It may be, but listen, if I was starving, I may not care. If you were starving to death, you may not care. It's amazing the things that people eat when they're just trying to survive. Some of you have seen these, you know, movies and people who are just lost on an island or something, and we're fascinated because they're, you know, squeezing the water out of leaves and doing whatever they can to satisfy their thirst and their hunger. It's an amazing thing. People come to church, you know. And I've been to fancy restaurants. Have you ever been there? You know, sometimes somebody's invited me and I go there and I sit there and, you know, under the table, I'm like Googling which fork I'm supposed to use. You ever do that? You know what I mean? You know, those fancy ones that have like multiple forks, you know what I mean? It's like salad, oyster, you know, I mean, you know, chicken, you know, I mean, there's seven forks, and you're going, I don't know which one I'm supposed to use. I'm like, any, mini, miny, mo, grab the right one by the toe. And you look over, and here's some guy, you know what I mean, and he's, you know, he's like on his seventh course, and he's going, oh, tell the chef the sauce is not right. Oh, tell him the steak isn't right, you know. And I'm looking, and I'm going, I'll take it. I mean, bring it over here. Man, that looks fabulous to me. You know what the problem is? He's not hungry. You know why people come to church and they're going, oh, I know, I just don't know. I mean, the message was, he's a little loud, he's a little long, he's a little strong. Oh, the song just wasn't this. And listen, you come to church, you find something to criticize. You look for something to criticize, you'll find it. There's plenty around here. But listen, you look for Jesus, you'll find him too. It all depends on what you're looking for. Get hungry and thirsty for Jesus, the Bible says. Get purposely looking for him. Look for him, the Bible says. Get hungry for him. If you're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, if you're saying, Lord, bless me, I want to find you, you will find him. Set aside time this week. Set aside time every day. Say, Lord, if I do nothing, I'm going to find you. Seek Jesus preeminently over everything. Seek Jesus purposefully. Number three, seek him perpetually. It's a funny thing, isn't it, about hunger? The Bible says if you hunger and thirst, you will be filled. You'll be filled. Now, I don't think I have to explain much to you about being full during the holidays. How many of you had a fantastic meal sometime this week, in the last month or so? Anybody here, right? I mean, oh, my soul. I'm telling you, folks, we had, my wife fixed a Christmas dinner, and I have to confess, I've already confessed it, but I'll just tell you all, I overdid it. I'm guilty, you know what I mean? I've been trying to exercise, and I got on the scale this morning, and I thought, oh, I didn't gain any weight. Praise the Lord, you know what I mean? Forget losing. I mean, if I can just maintain, that's a victory this month. And I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, she had the turkey. I mean, it was just juicy. And then she had, you know, mashed potatoes. From potatoes, not from a box. Like potatoes. Potatoes. And I mean, chunks in there. I mean, just perfect the way I love them. And then, you know, just these green beans. And then there was applesauce from apples, not from the thing, you know, no foil involved. I mean, I peeled the apples. You didn't know I could cook, did you? I peeled the apples. Yes, I did that. And my wife made homemade applesauce. I mean, it was just awesome. poppy seed bread. Oh, my folks, you haven't lived until you've had my wife's poppy seed bread. You know what I mean? She's not here. She may be watching, you know, but I'm telling you, don't ask her for the recipe, by the way. She won't give it to you. It's like four generations passed on. You know what I mean? I mean, somebody crossed some ocean with it, you know, in their teeth. It's can't have it, but it's awesome. So good. Oh, and then she said to me, I said, we have seconds. And I thought, all right. So I had some more. And then she said, we got done with seconds. You know, she said, do you have room for dessert? And I'm going, oh, no, okay. Yeah, you know what I mean? How many of you are like me, right? My kids all say to me, you know, Dad, I have a dessert stomach. It's always empty. And I'm telling you, I mean, we put down the dessert. And I mean, I'm telling you, I was walking over to the couch like limping. I mean, you're just going, oh, if I could just get over there. I was trying to make room any way I could. I'm like, maybe this will work. You know, I mean, it just felt like, oh, I just overdid it. And I'm sitting there, and my wife goes, you okay? I said, I don't know. I said, but if I explode, just know I loved you till the end. You know what I mean? I mean, it's terrible. You go through all of that, and you're thinking, I'll never eat again. And sure enough, 3 hours later, you know what I was doing, right? Looking in the refrigerator, and I'm going, got any of that turkey still? I mean, that was good. It's terrible, isn't it? Being filled never implies that you never seek the Lord again. Wouldn't that be terrible? You got filled up with the Lord. I mean, I went to the Lord this morning, and I spent some time with him and in prayer and just had a fellowship with God. I came to church. I've enjoyed it so far. I've loved the fellowship of God's people. But can I tell you something? You know what I need? Every single day, I need to come and I need to be filled again. And it's a wonderful thing. That's the way the Christian life is supposed to work. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus. He never allows us to come once and all of a sudden you're fed forever. I need him every hour. The devil's lie, he's gotten many of you here to believe that somehow to seek Jesus and to seek after righteousness is boring, hard, difficult, miserable. And as we're going to study over the next few weeks, we're going to find that seeking Jesus isn't rules. It's not legalism. And it's not licentiousness. It's not doing whatever you want. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. You see, the people who've dove into the Bible, who've renewed their mind, who every single day have learned not to look at themselves in the mirror and go, how great thou art. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. It's not positive thinking. I'm talking about trusting, who've learned to say, not I, but Christ. Lord, I know what I can do today. Fill me. I reckon myself. I consider I'm dead to sin. Make me today what you want me to be. Be my righteousness. I know that I'm in you, and I know that you're in me, and I'm going to trust you today. Lord, change my desires. Make me who I'm supposed to be. You know what happens? Those people, they get to the end of the day, and they go, whoa, I didn't yell like I normally did there. I didn't get angry like I did, like I normally do. I didn't get offended like I normally do. You know what those people say? Hey, I was able to witness to that person. You're not walking around somehow trying. Jesus, on his way to Calvary, was with the disciples in John 15, and he didn't look at them and say, hey, you make sure you win souls, and you make sure you behave, and don't you cuss, and don't you be smoking, don't you be chewing, don't you be running around with those that do. No, that's not what he said. He said, abide in me, and I in you. You abide in me. And he said, and I will make sure that you bear fruit and your joy will be complete. The devil is trying to get a lot of people, and he works at it, and he succeeds most of the time, to think that somehow living the Christian life is just hard and difficult, and you know, and you walk around like this, and you go, what are you? I'm a Christian. Bearing my cross. And your kids are going, I don't want any of that. You can have your cross. I don't have to go to church to be that miserable. Folks, we've got to get back to be people who are free. Christ has called us to liberty, to simply walk in his power and in his trust and go, I have everything I need because I have the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy said it this way. He said, charge them to trust in the living God, Paul said, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. How many of you are thankful for a God like that this morning? Amen. Psalm says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. How many of you are thankful for a God that is good? Psalm 107, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. So maybe you're here and you're somebody, you've tried it and you know very well it's not money and it's not fame and nothing's ever really satisfied. Can I just encourage you today? Friend, if you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, why don't you jump in today? Step in. Believe, not in Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Place your trust in Him and His work on the cross. Listen, it's not a religion. It's an exchange. It's a personal relationship. When you come to Jesus, He comes to you, and He comes to live in you, and you become His child, and He forgives your sin, gives you home in heaven, and you have His power living inside of you for the rest of your life. And it's not come and try harder. It's come and trust that God can do in you and through you what you could never possibly ever imagine on your own. If you're a Christian, it's the same message. It's recognizing that Jesus Christ is all you need. There was a vessel that had run out of power and consequently water and communication. So they were just kind of drifting along in the in South America there. And they say eventually they kind of came up to a warship one morning. And so they begin to send a signal with their Morse code and light. And the signal just simply said, need water. And the signal from the ship was very simply, lower your buckets where you are. And they sent the message back, we need drinking water. They thought, maybe they don't understand. And the ship, they sent back the message, lower your buckets where you are. They thought, well, we'll see. We don't know what they mean. And sure enough, just as the message was coming through, the clouds began to clear and they realized they were at the mouth of a great river. And right where they were, as they were just drifting there, there was all the drinking water they could ever possibly want. They lowered their buckets. They drank. So many Christians, they're looking. And they come to church and they think, maybe here. Friend, can I just say this? Seek Jesus Christ. They that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. Would you stand with me this morning? I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. You may not have a happy new year, but you can have a blessed one. You can have everything that your soul longs for and needs if you'll simply come to Jesus, if you'll seek the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the most important moment of the service. Don't miss it. There's one thing you must do. You must decide today, I will follow Jesus. How many of you would say today, Pastor, God spoke to me. I need to seek the Lord this year. I need a purpose in my life that if I do nothing, I'll seek Him. And as God is my witness today, I need to set my heart, I need a purpose that I'm going to seek the Lord Jesus Christ this year. God speaking to my heart. Can I pray for you? Is that you? Would you just raise your hand up? That's me. I want to seek Jesus. Seek Him preeminently. God bless you. I see a lot of hands. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Who's here and you'd say, you know, Pastor, I remember the day when I placed my trust on Jesus. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and I was saved. I know that I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm thankful for that. Is that your testimony? Can you raise your hand? That's me. I know. God bless you. Put your hand down. Friend, if you've never done that and you couldn't raise your hand, you're not 100% sure you're on your way to heaven, whether you're here or listening or watching somewhere. Would you just call on the name of the Lord once and for all and once and forever? Just do that today. It's a simple call. Say, Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross. Jesus, you said if I trust you, you'd save me. I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. Make me the person that I'm supposed to be. And help me to never be ashamed of you. Would you tell him that? Save me, Jesus. Just call on the Lord right now. Who's here and you'd say, you know, Pastor Carlos, I just prayed that prayer. It's a simple prayer, but I need to be saved. And I just place my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ once and forever. Would you raise your hand? Don't be ashamed. I just want to pray for you. Just raise your hand right up. I just prayed that prayer. God bless you. Great. Anybody else? I just prayed that prayer right here in my seat. God bless you, ma'am. What a blessing. Who else? I just prayed. I asked Jesus Christ to come in my heart. In a moment, I'm going to encourage you to come, whether you're a Christian or today, you just want to know what it means to be a Christian. In a minute, we're going to pray here at this altar. If you're here and you're like, you know, I want to know how to be saved. We have team members here and they're ready and willing to help you to take that step. If you're here today and you'd say, Lord, I need to seek you. I need to seek you this year. Maybe grab your wife's hand, men, and just come to this altar or kneel there. But whatever you do, don't leave today without purposing. This year may not be a lot of things, but it's going to be a blessed new year. Father, I thank you for this moment. Bless this invitation. May you help us all to respond as you would have us to, for your honor and glory, in Jesus' name. Just step out right now. If God spoke to you today, I need to seek my Savior. Just come on now. Just step out. Seek him. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Just come and tell him, Lord, this is a year I'm going to seek you preeminently. Lord, I'm going to seek you perpetually. If you pray that prayer of salvation today, can I encourage you? Just step right out. I'm going to be right here. Let me or one of these counselors know it. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to give you a Bible today so you remember the decision that you made. So as this song is played, would you come today? Just do business with God. Come and seek him today. Pray right where you are. But don't let 2024 go. Start and come without you determining, I'm going to seek the Savior. So as we pray to end this service, we're going to pray for 2024. We're going to pray and ask God today, Lord, help us to seek you as your church, as your people, as a family, like we never have before. So take your children's hands, and wife and husband, if they're with you, or maybe if you're just here alone, just pray to the Lord right there together. Father, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We can look back and see in difficult days, and in hard days, and in victories, Lord, your very presence and your power. Dear Lord, forgive us for how many times we drift, or how many times it seems as soon as the pain lets up or the problem lets go, all of a sudden we slide right back into the old nature and sinful ways and fleshly tendencies. And we need you, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd help us to hunger and thirst. Help us to look for you in your word and prayer and prayer meetings and preaching and service in every moment of our day. Lord, may we experience you this year. Father, help us to be a people who seek your presence and your power and seek your word. Thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity we have to shine. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be a light. Help us to trust in you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray that as this year comes, we would please and honor you. Lord, we thank you for being faithful. I pray your blessing, Lord, upon this year. May it truly be a blessed year, no matter what floods may come. We ask in Jesus' precious name.
We'd like to thank you for listening to today's message. If you made a decision to trust Christ, we'd love to know that and send you some resources that you can use to continue your new relationship with God. If you'd like prayer, you can call us at 401-231-4796 or email us at prayer@gribt.com. You can connect with us through social media or our website at gribt.com. Have a great day, and may God richly bless you.